With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit realitycheck.radio/donate.
Oh, how sweet does this sound? You're on Reality Check Radio. Real talk with Rodney Hyde. Oh my goodness, we're back. And joining us, one of our big time supporters, Simon O'Connor. Good morning, Simon.
G'day, Rodney. How are you? It's great that you guys are back on air. Congratulations.
Oh, look, it's like 100 prayers have been answered for me. But you were very gracious in your support for us in our hour of need. And I want to sincerely thank you for that.
Oh, happy to do so. You guys play an important part in the ecosystem of information and discussion, radio, talkback, all of it. It's just so important. So as I say, it's great your voice has been heard again.
Well, it's interesting because I'm thinking of myself. Probably if I was in your position, I would sort of say, oh, yeah, that's sad. And I wouldn't necessarily align myself publicly with something that was struggling. But I guess a bit like me, you used to failed courses.
I'm a great one for the underdog.
Yes, you know, that's me too. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, actually, I was in the ACT Party for so long and we were always being written off and we're still there, God forbid. But I know what you mean. There's something about that little train going up the thing that you sort of everyone roots for the little train, not the big train. How's life outside of politics, by the way?
Loving it. Loving it. In fact, just before the show, I've been three stories up on my house on the scaffolding. The health and safety inspectors would be very upset, not with the scaffolding, but have been fixing parts of the roof and the guttering. But it's a damp, slippery morning up here, but I've survived.
Fixing roofs is not easy.
No. But I've come from a carpentry family. My dad and my brother have taught me a few skills, and I've got a few builder mates who give me some advice and help. So no, I'm often seen clambering around doing this, that, one thing and the other in and around the house.
I had an old house in Wellington and the roof leaked, and the things I did to try and find where that leak was coming from, because water can go in astonishing places and it can even travel uphill through corrugated iron, right?
Yeah. Oh, one of my cousins is a roofer over in Aussie. I mean, God knows how he does it in that blistering heat. But exactly, he's telling me some of the horror stories of how leaks have gone in all sorts of directions. Fortunately, better be clear, Rodney, there's no leaks in the house. It's just actually fixing, repairing, and a bit of cosmetic work. But, oh, Lord, it never ends.
And it's three stories high, so that's tricky. Tell me, what's your reflection on the media, and in particular, as it affects New Zealand politics?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think, unfortunately, media is not holding, if you will, politicians to account as much as they should or could. They're not having those deeper conversations. I think a lot of, if I had to be a bit blunt, excuse me, it's a bit vacuous at times. It's just a light touching on topics. I mean, it's one of the reasons I've enjoyed Reality Check. You actually delve deeper into topics. But you're seeing at the moment a lot of politics, the media's either decided they don't like someone, and generally speaking, they don't like the current government, so they're just going to attack and attack and attack. And they decide they do like others. And so you've got another Green MP mired in scandal. But I would suggest to you, Rodney, it's been a very light touch. Very light touch.
Very light touch. Oh, my goodness. I felt my heart went out to Sam Uffendale, because we've all done stupid stuff. I continue to do stupid stuff, actually. But we all did very stupid stuff when we were 16.
Just remember, you're live on radio. Yes. I'm not sure what the...
Yes, but you know what I mean. There's things that you do that wouldn't look good if a journalist got a hold of it and decided to paint a negative story. Mm-hmm. And it can get exaggerated out of proportion. And there was Sam Uffendale. And now, like, as a 16-year-old or 17-year-old, whatever he was, years ago, and here's this green MP, these green MPs stealing, thieving, abusing people, and it's all sort of washed away or having a traumatic time. We had the famous case of David Garrett with his passport. And the story was that he'd been a law student, a mature law student, and he read The Day of the Jackal. It's a great book. It's 26 years ago or something. And the trick was they'd get a fake passport by getting an identity from the cemetery of someone that was your approximate year that you died. And he thought that could never work, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a silly move, I guess, but I can imagine doing this too. He applied for a passport. He went to the cemetery, found a grave, and applied for a passport in that name. And he got the shock of his life that it turned up, didn't know what to do, and threw it in a desk, a drawer, and got rid of it. So no harm done. Years later, you may forget this, but years later, a couple of Israeli spies traveled to New Zealand on fake passports.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Clark went ballistic, not because they were spies, but of course because they were Israeli, and ordered this big crackdown on passports. And in the trawl through, they found this passport that David Garrett had applied for and proceeded to prosecute him. And, of course, the judge got it and just said, this is ridiculous, and said discharge without conviction and name suppression, right, because he had a law career. So David revealed this to me as leader and indeed to the board and to the caucus. I think he was too fulsome in who he told, to be frank. And I said, that's a nothing, right? You've been to court. A judge has adjudicated it. He's decided this. And then David Garrett said to me, well, what should I say? And I said, nothing. You've got name suppression, right? How can you? That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, blow me down. Of course, the media got it. In the finish, it was like a dead baby. He'd killed the baby. He'd eaten the baby. It went on and on, and it destroyed him out of politics. Mm. Now, you and I know that if there had been a Green MP or a Labour MP, nothing would have happened.
Yeah, well, this is the double stand. I mean, I'm actually writing my Substack this week on this very topic, and actually, because, you know, first and foremost, I don't think there's any political party that hasn't had its scandals. I can think back in National only a few years ago where we were losing MPs left, right, and centre.
Yes.
Some involved in some pretty disgusting behaviour and rightly held to account, but you do seem to find different treatments. I remember one of my National MPs being literally chased down the corridors by a media frenzy pack, just constant harassment to the point that he was becoming, to be honest, suicidal. So, yes. You know, colleagues were trying to keep an eye on him, parliamentary security, blocking doors to stop media. But you don't see that at the moment with the Green MPs. In fact, what you're seeing is a whole list of excuses that, oh, they're stressed and there's a whole lot of privilege issues here. And it's like, what? There's always, no, let's have a little bit of consistency, a little bit of humanity, I might add as well. Mm-hmm. Politicians are people, as you know, Rodney. But
yes.
It just seems to be, as I said at the start, two different approaches. Media make a moral decision very early on. Sorry, mainstream media. They either like you or they don't. And if they like you or they like your party, they'll be generous, kind, lots of coverage. Or if they don't like you, they'll just attack, 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 and any excuse to have a crack.
It's interesting too, because camera angles, the photos that are chosen, the clips that are put on TV, they can be so readily curated and a caricature is made. And at least in the old days, you'd have like a half-hour interview of a party leader on TV, and that would allow you to form your own opinion live.
Yeah. Oh, the real need for long form, there's a desperate need for it and to tease out arguments at the very least. But I actually think there's a real thirst there in society. We've almost become trained, for want of a better word, for the clickbait short story. Yeah. I think actually Kiwis want long form. And when you look overseas, I was just in Australia with my wife recently, and they still have a lot of these long form programs. They're doing really well.
I make sure my kids aren't too much on the internet and all the rest of it. But even so, I notice in the car, they'll get on the Spotify and say, "Oh, listen to music, Dad." And I make them listen to my music, which is 60s and 70s stuff, right? And I start singing along, and it doesn't matter. You get 2 minutes into a song, bang, next song. They can't even last. Can't even last for a 3 minute song with their attention span. And I'm saying, when I was a kid, people complained that we were only listening to music that was 3 minutes long. You can't even manage that. Also, you've got big news with your family first.
Yeah, so I've taken a bit of a break, but I set up actually a small consultancy company a short while ago. Lots of different people have been coming to me asking for help in different areas. And so, yeah, one of my first clients is actually part-time with Family First, helping them with their external engagement. So, to your listeners, that means that I'll go out and represent them and talk to different groups, be it MPs, churches, imams, you name it, go and talk. And the other is they're wanting me to do some of their recording podcasts and so forth, so helping them out with that. So people know me well enough. I like writing. I like doing interviews. So going to lead a bit of that for Bob and the team, which is really great. But doing that part time because I've got a couple of other clients and
Great.
opportunities that I'm wanting to explore.
Great. Well, in my old days, when I wasn't a Christian, I've always had time for Christians, but I always had enormous time for Bob McCoskrie because he's always got a big smile on his face. He's always cheerful. He's always positive, and he can listen to the other side of the argument without getting upset. And so I remember him way back in the Radio Rema days and always enjoying going on his show. And so I think you've made a great choice, and all strength to Family First. Bob was a great supporter of ours too. But Family First seemed to me to be going from strength to strength. And I suspect, well, I don't know. Do you think the tide's turning?
Well, I think it is actually. I mean, look, I'm quite aligned to a lot of their values. I've always enjoyed their robust discussions with Bob. I think he must be charitable as well that he's even considered bringing me in to
Yes.
assist them. But I think the tide is turning actually. There's a lot of the issues that, Bob and the team there have championed over the years, which were dismissed, derided, defined as disgusting to certain quarters of society. How dare you? But actually now, the evidence is coming out. It doesn't matter if it's the fact that our population is declining and we can't replace ourselves and what's driving that. Bob's been a strong advocate for strong families, as you'd expect with the title. But even in more recent times, he's been a very strong opponent, if you will, of this Marxist gender ideology, and particularly what it does to our young kids. And now, he's been vindicated by Cass.
I wouldn't have known of it if it hadn't have been for Bob. I mean, he was the first person that alerted me to it. And it seemed so nutty and so fringe. We've just had Penny Marie and a lovely lady called Elizabeth Kay traveling the South Island. I went to two of their presentations, one in Arrowtown and one in Wanaka. Do you know what really disturbed me about this was the presentation about how the training manuals for mental health are operating in our schools. So basically, what it is, forget even the gender stuff. This seems to me this is much bigger in a sense because it affects every kid. That it's all about questioning who you are. And it's not talking about who you are in terms of character or your humanity or your faith. It's who you are in terms of your race, your sex, and your gender. And it has this hyper focus on it, right? And it's sort of designed to confuse and make kids anxious and actually open to this stuff. I had no idea this was happening in our schools, and I consider myself to be up to date with it, you know?
I think it's one of the big things I would certainly encourage parents is to be really cognizant, really aware of what is and is not being taught in schools. You know, to put it really simply, schools are not operating in the same way they did when I or you or many parents were there. There's lots of these agendas. And actually, there's a reason why we have a lot of young ones coming through now with massive anxiety and mental health issues. That, yeah, when you are sitting on the mat at school and teachers are spending half an hour plus talking about feelings and how are you and where's your identity, this actually causes quite an anxiety in the children. In fact, it almost creates a perverse incentive at times, Rodney, for them to find issues. Because, of course, yes, those who declare that they're not feeling
special.
Yeah, exactly right. And becomes an anxious race to the bottom. And ultimately, it fuels a narcissism. And even worse, I'd argue, a narcissism based on only a few pillars. And you've touched on some of them. I mean, why is it that but some of these advocates and mental health experts are obsessed with race or gender or sexuality? They're part of who we are as humans. But I would argue there's so many facets to being a human being. And I'd also add, without standing on my soapbox for too long, because this is your show, we are always becoming, we're always changing and improving. But the critical race theory, the neo-Marxist philosophy is very much, you're perfect just the way you are right now. There's no need to change. There's no need to adapt, which is completely wrong when it comes to human growing. We always develop. So no wonder the kids are confused and upset and anxious and depressed and worried.
It's such a big change from when I was growing up. Character was everything. Your character. And schools regarded themselves as developing character. You know, that strength, that values, that faith, that belief, and being a good person, not hyper-focusing on your race and your gender. It is so true. Anyway, Simon, you and I get talking and we get carried away.
That's right.
And we're going to have you on for longer. It is so lovely to have you drop in. I want to thank you on behalf of everyone in the community, all the hosts, all the team, all the listeners for your support. I can't tell you how much that support meant, to seeing friendly people come out and say, look, get in behind RCR, we need it. And I'm so pleased that you have found a slot with Family First, because I think you'll add even more firepower to Bob's bow.
Well, that is very kind. He's quite a powerful chap already. If I can help, I'm looking forward to it. But look, again, congratulations to you and all the team. And thanks to the Kiwis and others who've kicked in behind you. It's great that you're back on air.
Humbling. Take care, Simon.
See ya.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and